gift of the unity of the Father, bringing forth His sons, His daughters. That's what we're all about. We don't comprehend sometimes the challenges that are part of our lives. I guarantee you, more than anything, His love for you, His compassion, His grace. And because of the natural mind, because of the comprehension of the thought patterns, what you and I have lived through, we sometimes think, why would I deserve any more? Why should God love me? Why? Sometimes we don't understand. Because we go by the pattern of the past. Where judgmental teachers and people in authority in our lives made us toe the mark, pushed our buttons and hurt us and wounded us. And we take a view of this as our Heavenly Father. Some of us need to see the compassionate Father, a loving Father, who really is our Father. So would you take a chance with me this morning? Say, our Father.
Our Father.
Who is in heaven.
Who is in heaven.
Meaning the realm around us.
Meaning the realm around us.
The unseen realm.
The unseen realm.
He's not way out there.
He's not way out there.
He's right next to us.
He's right next to us.
He's within us.
He's within us.
By His Spirit.
By His Spirit.
Hallowed be Your name.
Hallowed be Your name.
Glorify Yourself through us today.
Glorify Yourself through us today.
We choose to forgive.
We choose to forgive.
All those who have wounded us.
All those who have wounded us.
Present.
Present.
Past.
Past.
And future.
And future.
We trust the blood of the Lamb.
We trust the blood of the Lamb
that washes us,
that washes us
consistently,
consistently,
over and over,
over and over,
cleansing us,
cleansing us
from all unrighteousness,
from all unrighteousness,
all sin,
all sin,
and all patterns of thoughts,
and all patterns of thoughts
being readjusted as we glorify Jesus,
as we glorify Jesus,
our big brother,
our big brother.
Glorifying His name.
Glorifying His name.
Being grateful for His angels.
Being grateful for His angels.
And to God be the glory.
And to God be the glory.
To God be the honor.
To God be the honor.
Forever and ever.
Forever and ever.
Amen.
Amen.
Morning, I heard Joshua chapter 9. So I want you to take a skip over there because I want you to see what happens when you don't discern the spirits. Because in Joshua chapter 9, Joshua has been very successful in obedience to overwhelm many, many bad communities. Under the anointing and the direction of the Holy Spirit, they have obeyed the Lord. And if you check the first 8 chapters, you'll get to know some of this. Now, there's a group of people, and I'm going to start it back for chapter 1, and I'm going to kind of read this quickly so that we don't lose time on what God is trying to teach us. When all the kings west of the Jordan heard about these things, those on the hill country in the western foothills and along the entire coast of the Great Sea, as far as Lebanon, the kings of the Hittites, Amorites, Canaanites, Perizzites, Hivites, Jebusites, they came together to make war against Joshua and Israel. However, when the people of Gibeon heard that Joshua had done what Joshua had done to Jericho and Ai, they resorted to a ruse. They went on a delegation whose donkeys were loaded with worn-out sacks, old wineskins, cracked and mended, and the men put worn and patched sandals on their feet and wore old clothes. All the bread of their food supply was dry and moldy. Then they went to Joshua in the camp at Gilgal and said to him and the men of Israel, "We have come from a distant country. Make a treaty with us." The men of Israel said to the Hivites, "But perhaps you live near us. How then can we make a treaty with you?" "We are your servants," they said to Joshua. But Joshua asked, "Who are you and where do you come from?" And they answered, "Your servants have come from a very far distant country because of the fame of the Lord your God, for we have heard reports of him, all that he did in Egypt." Now what happened in Egypt? The whole country was devastated because of the Israelites. "And all that he did to the two kings of the Amorites east of Jordan, Sihon, king of Heshbon, and Og, king of Bashan, who reigned in Ashtaroth, and our elders and all those living in our country said to us, 'Take provisions for your journey, go to meet them, and say to them, we are your servants, make a treaty with us. This bread of ours was warm when we packed it at home on the day we left to come to you. But now, see how dry and moldy it is, and these wineskins that we filled were new, but see how cracked they are. And our clothes and sandals were worn out and by the very long journey." And the men of Israel sampled their provision. Say, they sampled the provision. But did not inquire of the Lord. But did not inquire of the Lord. If you don't have that underlined in your Bible, you better underline it, because that's the trigger. And it happens today, no different than in our day. You know, that day was a day where all the nations had a knowing of the reputations of the believers. Yes or no? All these countries were aware of the power of our God. The power of God was known by these communities. Then Joshua made a treaty of peace with them and let them live. And the leaders of the assembly ratified it by oath. I could tell you that I've listened to our president's comments, and I've listened to our congressional people and our senators, and they're doing the same thing. And I don't think they've got the whole picture put together. That's why we took communion for them today. Okay? And 3 days after they had made the treaty with the Gibeonites, the Israelites heard that they were neighbors living near them. So the Israelites sent out, and on the third day came to their cities, etc. But the Israelites did not attack them, because the leaders of the assembly had sworn an oath to them by the Lord, the God of Israel. And the whole assembly grumbled against the leaders. But all the leaders answered, "We have given them our oath by the Lord, the God of Israel, and we cannot touch them now." They were bound by their own oath, but they had been deceived. They did not discern correctly. And they were what? Taken in by the lies. They were even taken in by the evidence. They were confused. And the negative forces had their way. Now, this is what we will do to them. And it goes on and it gives you a lot of things. But I'd like to kind of give you verse 24. "They answered Joshua, your servant, we're clearly told how the Lord your God had commanded his servants, Moses, to give you the whole land and to wipe out all of its inhabitants from before you. So we feared for our lives because of you. You should underline that. There is a fear in the unbelievers of what's going on in the churches. There's a fear in the unbelievers and in the secular kingdom about what the potential is for God's people to be able to carry out the commission that they have from God. Don't let anybody fool you. Anybody with half a brain knows that the church has power to be able to change lives. Why do you think that you get attacked periodically and you don't understand why? It's because they're afraid of you and they're trying to deceive you so that you won't come to the house of the Lord, or that you won't complete the mission that God has given you, or that you will not, let's say, be obedient to what the Holy Spirit has already spoken to you. You're not checking in with God. And if you don't check in with God, what happens? You get deceived. Oh, this looks like a Holy Ghost angel to me. Well, it just might be a deceiving angel. Catching on? I could take you to the scripture and tell you, you know, many, many times what sounded like the truth, what actually looked like the truth, was actually a deception. And you know what? I watched people buy it and go with it. And I kept thinking, my God, can't they see? And I'll be honest with you. They went by the natural understanding. The smell, it says they sampled. What did they mean? What did they sample? They sampled the bread. They sampled the wine. They looked at their clothing. And what did they see? They saw what the other guys had already deceived them to be able to see, and it was looking good, smelling lousy, and they couldn't understand because they failed to go to the Lord. And you know what? As a church and as a people of God, we need to change, and we need to be running to the Lord. We need to be obedient. And even when someone shows up with all the right credentials, and even looking like they're really from God, and they're looking like what they're presenting to us is really the truth, ask the Holy Spirit. You know what? He'll tell you the truth. It may not be what you want to hear, but he'll tell you the truth. And he'll even give you the strategy to overcome what the enemy has done. See, now Israel was stuck with these people. Yet God had clearly told them, clear out the land. Don't make treaties. Because if you check back, you'll see that the scripture is very clear. He told them, don't make treaties. Even Joshua the leader was deceived. Now, am I saying this to you to create fear? No. But to create a caution light. To create a caution light. Look to the Lord. Smells good. Sounds good. Looks good. Looks like they're really telling you the truth. But underneath, the motives were what? Deception. And they were afraid of the believer. You say, well, why should they be afraid of me? It's because you don't realize who's in you. They don't have fear without reason. They don't have fear without reason. Do you understand? I want you to close your eyes. Lord Jesus, I'm asking for your Holy Spirit this morning to confirm to my brothers and sisters, and even those that are listening to this message, that there are times that the enemy will be released to test us. And by the Holy Ghost, we will run to Jesus and find the solution and not be deceived by what we see, not even be deceived by what we smell or taste. And by the Holy Ghost, we will be victorious as we obey Him. So would you repeat after me, Lord Jesus? I need your grace. I don't want to be deceived. If I have been, show me the solution. Because you have a plan of salvation for my spirit, for my soul, for my body, and for my family, because that's what's at stake. They can't stand my family. They're afraid of me. They're afraid of who's alive in me. The all-powerful one. Christ Jesus Himself. The resurrected Lord is alive in me. And they shake. They tremble. And they fear. Because of who is alive in me. Keep me close to you, Lord. Counsel me. Holy Spirit, counsel me. And don't forget to comfort me. And I will be victorious. In Jesus' name. Amen? You know, when I first listened to this, as I was looking to the Lord this morning, and I said, Lord, is there any addition to what you want to give? And He said, I want you to go to Psalms 41. So I'm just going to close this off with Psalms 41. Blessed is he who has regard for the weak. The Lord delivers him in times of trouble. The Lord will protect him and preserve his life. He will bless him in the land and not surrender him to the desires of his foes. Did you hear that? Not surrender you to the desires of those who can't stand you, the deceived ones, the ones that are afraid of you. The Lord will sustain him on his sickbed and restore him from his bed of illness. I said, O Lord, have mercy on me, heal me, for I have sinned against you. My enemies say of me in malice, when will he die and his name perish? Whenever one comes to see me, he speaks falsely while his heart gathers slander. Do you see the same principle at stake? King David lived through this. Joshua lived through this. And I've lived through this. How many of you have lived through what I'm just describing? Okay? And it's a caution light. It's not for us to buckle under fear. It's to recognize that it's because of Christ Jesus in us that this war is on. And he goes out. Verse 6. He goes out and spreads it abroad. So they cattle behind your back. Of course, they've never talked about you, but they've got a few things on me. All my enemies whisper together against me. They imagine the worst for me, saying a vile disease has beset him. He will never get up from the place where he lies. Even my close friends whom I trusted, he who shared my bread has lifted up his heel against me. That's Judas. Okay? That's that spirit that would like to destroy you. But you, O Lord, have mercy on me. Raise me up that I may repay them. I know that you are pleased with me, for my enemy does not triumph over me. In my integrity, you uphold me and set me in your presence part-time. Oh, thanks for the correction. Forever. Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Amen. Now I want you to stand up. I want you to put your Bibles on your chair. I want you to lift your hands to the Lord. I want you to declare this with me. Verse 9. Even my close friends, whom I trusted, he who shared my bread, has lifted up his heel against me. But you, O Lord, have mercy on me. Raise me up that I may repay them.
I know
that you are pleased with me.
For my enemy
does not triumph over me. In my integrity,
you uphold me
and set me in your presence
forever.
Praise be to the Lord,
the God of Israel,
from everlasting
to everlasting.
Amen.
And amen.
Glory to God.
Glory to God.
May he be glorified in you, and may be glorifying many through you. And bless them that persecute you. Bless them that hurt you. Bless them that can't stand you. Because God will save them like he saved you.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Share some hugs.